Thank you for that greeting. Now may I gather us together around the reading of God's Word today in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. This particular blessing comes from ancient Israel. And your thought for today is Israel's ancient blessing points us to our present blessing in Christ. Israel's ancient blessing points us to our present blessing in Christ. One of the things that we have to determine when we are talking about this particular blessing is, what does it mean to be blessed by God? What does it mean to be blessed by God? God wants to bless and keep us. This was what he directed Moses to direct Aaron to bless the people. And it was a pronouncement there. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But what does it mean that God wants to bless his people? Well, we have those material blessings that we have of wealth and happiness and comfort and all of those kinds of things, protection. But there is something that God holds more dear than all of the material wealth that we could ever accumulate. And he is trying to convey to his people, as well as to us here in this present, what that blessing is. And if you go back to Scripture and find out how God presented this particular blessing, if you go back to Genesis 12, we'll see that he makes a promise to Abraham there. And in that promise, he says, "I, God, will bless those who bless you, Abraham, and your descendants, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, we wonder, what exactly does God mean by that? In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham was in a very specific region, a very mortal individual who could not encompass the whole world with his travels. He was directed by God to go to a specific place on earth. So what does God mean that in you all the peoples of the world will be blessed? Paul had some enlightening thoughts upon that. And if we go to the book of Galatians in the third chapter, we see what Paul here writing says: "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.' So that in Christ Jesus," now this is where it answers the question, "so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." So what did God mean when he promised Abraham that in him all the peoples of the earth will be blessed? It meant that one of the descendants of Abraham, and if you track all of that back, the ultimate descendant of Abraham was Christ Jesus himself. So in Christ Jesus, all of the peoples, the nations of the world, will be blessed. That does not mean that everyone will be saved, but that peoples from all nations of the world would have a call from God where they could come and be reunited in the family of God, to join together with him and to have his name. And so this blessing then points us to Christ, in that it reminds us of the ultimate blessing of God. God wanted his people Israel to know that he wanted to bless them. And in Christ, that blessing of God is made possible through relationship. None of the blessing that is in this, as we called it earlier the Aaronic blessing, if you want to remember that for you Sunday school teachers. All of the blessings that are incorporated in this Aaronic blessing are result of a relationship with God. Without that relationship with God, none of these blessings will be applied to the people. It comes through relationship. And so relationship with God here in our present day comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the one that bridges the gap between sinful man and holy and righteous God, so that it is through Christ, through that promised Christ child, that man and God can be once again reunited. If you remember this particular time in Israel's history, they were being brought back together with God. Again, going back to the garden, you know I always like to go back to the garden, but that's where that separation occurred. Before sin, man and God were together in intimate and holy and righteous communion. Once sin came into the picture, God separated himself from sinful man, but he always sought to pursue us and to bring us back into relationship. I always like to remind us all that that is a great example for us whenever we have a rift in our personal relationships, to follow the example of God. Jesus said, I have came to seek and to save that which was lost, as that good shepherd. What does that mean as an example to us? It means that in our relationships, in that rift that happens there, if we are to follow the pattern and example of Christ, we are to be those who pursue. We are to be the ones who act in a way that seeks to reunite, to bring that relationship back together. And so this relationship between Israel and God and mankind was being brought back together through Israel and through the worship of God that he was incorporating and teaching his people to do. The second part of that first part of the blessing, bless and keep you. What does it mean to be kept by God? Again, it goes back to that figure of the shepherd. God called himself the shepherd of his people, and Jesus himself identified as the good shepherd. And so when you think of what a shepherd does to keep his sheep, it means that shepherd offers his sheep protection. It means that shepherd gives to his sheep green pastures, as we like to read that 23rd Psalm, leading the sheep beside those waters where they can find refreshment and peace, not raging rivers where they will be swept away, but places where they will be content, leads them to that very green grass, as the original language describes the green pastures that we like to read in Psalm 23. And so it's a lushness there. There's an abundance there. There's still waters where we can drink. There are abundances of the blessings that we need to live in happiness and harmony as the people of God. And so the first part of this blessing then is for God to bless us ultimately. Materially, yes, that's part of it, but ultimately bless us through reuniting with him in relationship. That comes through Christ. That points to Christ. Being kept by him, Christ himself put himself into that conversation when he called himself that good shepherd. He's the shepherd for the sheep who tends them, who brings them into those places where they can be refreshed and protected. And he keeps us in that. He is the strong one. He is the omnipotent, the all-powerful one who will not lose any of his people as he has promised. And so he does that by the work of his Spirit. And that Spirit goes out and it unites us with God. And that Spirit, he educates us against sin. That Spirit illuminates sin within our lives, within our hearts, that we may not be acknowledging as sin. And so there's a brightness of God, as we'll see in just a moment, as that shining face of God comes upon us that helps us to see our lives in truth, in his truth. And it brings to mind the Word of God whenever we are faced with temptations. We think back to the temptation of Christ when he was alone in the wilderness and he was facing the temptation, the threefold temptation of Satan. How did he defeat that? He defeated that with the Word of God. And so when we are faced with those temptations of life, that Spirit again brings to mind those passages that can help us ward off and to fight off and fend off those temptations. That blessing of God comes down to having His presence with us. Ultimately, that blessing of God comes down to having His presence with us. God wanted His people to know that His presence was with them. And that Shekinah glory that came down upon that mercy seat in the Holy of Holies within the tabernacle, in that pillar of fire by day, by night, and the cloud by day, were constant reminders of the presence of God with His people. Ultimately, that presence came in the face of Jesus Christ, whose birth that we are celebrating this season, whose death we celebrate during our time of Easter celebration. But in that entire life of Christ, we saw in the face of Christ the presence of God with His people in a very intimate way. And that is what Christ is leading His people Israel to in this blessing. What He calls us to be is to be joined together with Him, have His presence within our lives, within our hearts, to guide, to watch over, to protect us. And then it talks about here in this blessing, the next thing it talks about here in this blessing is the Lord make His face to shine upon you. What does it mean for God's face to shine upon you? I want to bring you to a picture that we are all very familiar with, you ladies especially. What feeling overcame you, for those of you who have been blessed in this way and those of you who have seen this happen, what feeling overcame you when you looked upon the face of your child for the first time? And you see that very intimate relationship that you have in that mother and child where and father and child, and you have that face of that mother and father just looking upon that child. We see that in the nativity scenes that we see of Mary and Joseph looking upon the face of Jesus, not just because He was God, but because He was their child. And so that face is turned toward that child, and you see in that reflection of that face, a showering of love and attention upon that child. And she's that nurturer, that protector, that provider. And so when God's face is turned toward His people, when His face is shining upon us, you have that face of that protector, provider, that love of God that is focused upon us, that is lavished upon us, and His face is turned toward us in that way. We see an illustration of this by how God uses that in a negative way. When we say things that we have in our culture, like we turn our back on people or someone turned their back on us, it means that that person did not have their loving focus, their attention upon us. And for whatever reason, there was a separation in that relationship. And that individual did not hold us in very high regard. In Deuteronomy 31, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods and among them in the land that they are entering. And they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them." He goes on to say that, "And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done." And so, used in a negative way, we get a better idea of what it means for God's face to be shining upon us, because it is not good for us when He turns His face away from us. It means that there is a rift there. That means that there is a brokenness in that relationship because of sin. But to have God's face shining upon His people is to have that nurturing, that protector, that provider showering us with His presence, with His love within our lives. And it says there's a graciousness about it. Make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God's graciousness is seen ultimately and best in the coming of Christ to dwell among us. What Christ brought to us was new life, new hope, that relationship between sinful man and holy and righteous God can be repaired, can be bridged through Christ. If you picture the holy and righteous God, you've seen his illustrations and sinful man, and you see that cavern, that depth there, canyon between the two. And then if you take the cross of Christ and you place it in there, you see the arms of the cross bridge that gap. You've probably seen those illustrations on pamphlets and handouts before. And that's what Christ does. He bridges that gap between us and God to bring us together with him and to bring reconciliation between us. And so that grace that Christ bought and that gracious, glorious gift of the Christ child is Christ bringing undeserved favor to mankind. The face of God shining upon his people is embodied in the sending of his Son. That ultimate shining of God's face upon us when he wants to provide for us, when he wants to protect us, when he wants to ultimately bless us, all of that is embodied in the face of Christ when he comes. And it is ours now for receiving Christ, for taking him as our Savior, for making him our Lord, for using our faith in him now to approach the Father in the righteousness of Christ. All is a gift from God. All because of the Christ child, whose birth we look forward to this time of the season. So the ultimate blessing of God comes to us in the face of the Christ child. The ultimate presence of God comes to us in the face of the Christ child. To have God's name upon you, as he said there, so shall my name be upon the people of Israel. To have God's name upon us is mean that God is taking us as his own. There is that spirit of adoption that is ours through Christ Jesus, for God makes us his family and he places his name upon us. That means that there is ownership there. That means that there is relationship there. And ultimately, all of us want to have that name of God placed upon us. All of us who come to God through faith in Christ have that name of God put upon us by the adoption, spiritual adoption into his family, where we receive that Spirit of God. And that Spirit then unites us with God in a very special way. Again, primitively, what God was pointing his people to was a reuniting God with his people in his presence within the tabernacle, in his presence with them when his face was shining upon them. But it was all pointing to that ultimate reuniting of man and God in the person of Christ. And that life of Christ then making the way possible for you and I to be reunited with the Father by the righteousness of Christ, coming together, being a part of that family, having the name of God put upon us. All of those are the blessings within this Aaronic blessing that point to Christ and that lead us to look to him as the ultimate fulfillment of this blessing. And there in the last part, may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The NIV translation says it very well in the angelic announcement to the shepherds as the angels sang and said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." God's judgment upon his people is tempered with mercy. And we see that in this blessing as well. When we talk about the countenance of God being lifted up upon his people, and it is the favor of God being placed upon man, all of this made possible through Christ. this peace that we receive and give you peace, this peace of God is the peace that comes from the cessation of hostility that comes between sinful man and a holy and righteous God who wants to be our sovereign King. And so as sovereign King, those who live outside of that domain, outside of that will of God, if you will, are in rebellion against Him. And that rebellion then is surrendered through the work of the Spirit within the heart of man, transforming us into those who now understand the call of God and hear the call of God in our heart and answer that call of God in our heart. And as we answer that call of God, we're brought into that domain of God. We're brought in under His sovereign care. And so then that ceases that hostility of actions. It's not like we wake up in the morning and we say, what can I do today to make God's life miserable? It's not like we wake up in the morning and say, what can I do today to make God angry? It's nothing like that. It's living outside of God's desire for us. It's what causes hostility. Because if we're not surrendered to His care, if we're not surrendered to His rule in our lives, then we are in rebellion and there is hostility there. And Scripture says, while we were yet in that condition of hostility, Christ died for us, all so that we could be brought together with God. Also that our sin could be forgiven and the ceasing of this hostility. Some scholars think that this blessing completed the act of the priest's atonement, and so they were connected together. The priest would take the sacrifice, and on behalf of the sinner, he would sacrifice that animal, and following the Levitical law, he would offer that sacrifice to God as an atonement for the sin of those who came bringing this sacrifice. And then this blessing was given. And so there was a connection there that some scholars see with the cross of Christ and the, as I said, the ultimate fulfillment of this blessing. The ultimate fulfillment that is ours through Christ Jesus. Psalm 34 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are toward their cry. And this lifting up the countenance means that we have the full, undivided attention of God the Father come upon us. Think of that blessing. We have the full, undivided attention of God the Father. Why do your children go out and say, Mama, Daddy, look at me. Mom and Daddy, see what I can do. They want to know that they are important in your eyes. They want to know that you see them. And whether they're 6 years old or 16 years old, they want that undivided attention. They want to know that they are important in the eyes of Mom and Dad. And we as God's children want to know that we are important in His eyes, that He hears our prayers, that He's working in our lives to answer those prayers, that He's working in our lives to protect us, to guide us, to lead us into those peaceful pastures, to provide for us in ways that will replenish our faith and restore us and continue to transform us into the people of God that He would have us to be. And by His undivided attention being focused upon us, He's answering that need of us of to be seen, to be noticed, to be acknowledged, that we are loved, that we are cared for. And whether you have children or not, to be acknowledged, to be noticed, to be cared for, is very important to us as human beings. And so may He lift up His countenance upon you. May He show His undivided attention and focus upon you. Through Christ we have that righteousness that God desires for His people bestowed upon us so that God can look favorably upon us. And that is the blessing that we have in that Christ child. The wrath of God is stilled between us and our loving Father. We are no longer in rebellion against him, but are his sons and daughters. We have his name bestowed upon us. And that is the gift that Christ brings. And it is a gift we remember especially at this time of the year. And so let the face of God shine brightly upon you this Christmas. And let Israel's ancient blessing point you towards the present blessing that we have in God's gift to us in his Christ child. Let me pray for you. Father, this day we come before you asking that this blessing that you gave to Aaron to bless the people will be applied to us this day in Christ, whose birth we celebrate this season of joy and happiness and peace and all the blessings that are ours in Christ. Father, may they be ours by your power and by your grace. May we not forget the words of this blessing as we ask that they be applied to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.